A very good evening to you all, dear brothers in Christ. So last few weeks we studied about the subject about the church. We saw what is the meaning of church in the Bible. So in the Bible, the church means the word, Greek word means ecclesia. So ecclesia means a gathering. It doesn't mean a physical place. It doesn't mean a building. So hence we saw clearly in the Bible that the word ecclesia is a group of called out ones from the world, called to be saints to live a holy life. So we see that this ecclesia, this church, it has got different, classes in the Gospel Age. So in the Gospel Age, we saw that how there are different types of Christians in the world. We saw about the category of Q, who are termed as hypocrites, who don't really believe in Jesus and Jesus' blood, that Jesus died for us. And we also learned about group P, the group P, the group of believers who are justified in Christ, but they don't do anything for Christ. They just, go to the churches, the good believers, carry the Bible, read the Bible. You see, they sing songs, attend cottage meetings, prayer meetings, everything. But they do all these things only to seek the blessings of the Lord. So rather, they doing anything to the Lord, they don't offer anything to the Lord. You see, so we have seen this category of people. So we saw how the believers are there and how hypocrites are there. So we also saw, is this sufficient? Because during the days of Jesus also, there were many, many good believers who believed in the Lord because of the miracles he did, because of the healings he did. But we read in John 2nd chapter, last two verses, where Jesus did not believe them. So it is important. Then we believing Jesus, Jesus should believe us. That is very, very much important. So we see that, just by believing Christ is not sufficient. There is one more thing that is required. So what is that condition that is required? We saw that condition is a one step ahead where we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. So we have seen these three categories, hypocrites, the called ones, the believers, and the chosen ones who are called to, to follow Christ and who are chosen to, offer their bodies as a living sacrifice to our Lord. Hence, we also saw last time that Jesus was on this plane, a plane of M, where he consecrated his life to the Lord and dedicated his life to the Lord, And they are the part of the chosen, class. So the chosen class in the Bible, they are termed as followers. Jesus put a condition, if any man wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, carry the cross and follow me. So these are the people who not only, want to believe in the Lord, but they deny themselves, carry the cross, take responsibility and, match this risk for the Lord and follow his footsteps. Hence, we also saw that how many percentage or how many, Christians are like this in this world. If you see, it is just a mere 1%. You see, many people believe on the Lord, as they believed in during the days of Jesus. So we saw an example where the 10 lepers met our Lord. The 10 lepers asked our Lord, Lord, please heal us of our leprosy. And Jesus healed them of their leprosy as they were going. They were totally healed. So among them, only one came back and gave gratitude to the Lord. So that one person, if you see in the Bible, he was a Samaritan. So Jesus puts a word saying, there were 10 that were healed, but is it only one that came and gave glorified to God? So that is the condition of the world today, Dibudran. The majority of the Christians, 99% of the Christians are busy, you see, taking blessings, obtaining blessings and all the things from the Lord, but rather than what they do to the Lord is very, very little, Dibudran. Therefore, you see, so we need to think whether we need to be believers or followers of Christ. So once we decide to be the followers of Christ, you see, that is the time that we dedicate our life to the Lord in consecration. You see, Jesus began his ministry. Jesus began walking in the narrow way. One, it is only when he took his baptism, since his immersion, that Jesus began to walk in the path of the turn. You see, narrow way, dear brethren. So see, that is the time that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, isn't it? So it is the same way with us. When we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, when we dedicate completely to the Lord, you see, that is the time our Lord seals us with the Holy Spirit. He anoints us with the Holy Spirit. Let us read 2 Corinthians 1:22, brother.
He who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts.
Thank you, brother. He who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So, God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. So, that seal is the acknowledgement that our sacrifice is accepted to the Lord. And that is the time a person becomes a new creature. You see, Bible says, no, who are in Christ. If any man is Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. So all things have become new. So new creature, you see, what is a new creature? You see, you might have heard the word about born again Christian, isn't it? What is the meaning of born again Christian? Who is a born again Christian? Everybody thinks that as soon as a man is immersed, you see, he's a born-again Christian. He's born of the Holy Spirit. What does the Bible say about born-again Christian? Jesus tells this one to Nicodemus. John, 3rd chapter. See, Nicodemus was a very religious person, very pious person. He wanted to live as much as pleasing to the Lord. So once in the night, you see, he came to Jesus and asked him, Lord, what should I do to enter into the kingdom of God? That is the time, you see, Jesus, you see, gave the reply saying, until a man be born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I read, brother, John 3, 5, brother.
Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
See, except a man is born of the water and Spirit. You see, born of the water, born of the Spirit. So, born of the water means what? One, if he is immersed in water, he is born of the water. The born of the Spirit means what? Everybody thinks that as soon as we baptize, God gives us the Holy Spirit. That is the time that on the spot we are born of the Spirit. Okay. Now, does the Bible say so? But as soon as we are baptized, once when God gives us the Holy Spirit, we are born of the Spirit. What does the Bible say so? What does the Bible say? Jesus gives the answer in verse 8, saying, how will those persons who are born of the Spirit be? Read verse 8, brother. Same chapter, verse 8. It's given there.
The wind bloweth where it listeth, and though he hears the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes, and it whither it goes. So it, everyone that is born of the Spirit.
You see, Jesus gives us the example about wind. The wind blows. You can listen the wind blowing. But you can hear the sound also. But you can't see from where the wind is coming and where the wind is going. It's invisible, you see. Correct, no? See, now also near to you, there's a lot of air. You see, wind is there. We can't see it, but we can listen to his voice. We can feel it. But can we see it? No. Jesus tells each and every person who are born of the Spirit are like the wind, it seems. That means they will be invisible. Now, are all the Christians who are baptized and who are anointed with God's Holy Spirit, are they invisible? No. None of them are invisible. They are visible. We can clearly see them. We can touch them. We can feel them. But Jesus says that they will be invisible. So what is the meaning of this born of the Spirit? You see, the born of the Spirit, you see, Jesus himself is a grand example of being born of the Spirit. You see, when was Jesus born of the Spirit? So Jesus was a person who was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. John 3:33, it says now, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit beyond measure. But when was Jesus born of the Spirit? You see, like the wind, he could come and go. When actually that one happened, if you see, that happened only after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, not before his resurrection in the flesh. Jesus had to die in the flesh. Once he was resurrected as a spirit being in the spiritual nature, he could come and go as a wind, invisibly. That was the time Jesus was born of the Spirit. See, we all know, you see, when Jesus was resurrected, he appeared to the disciples so many times. See, once what happened? Let us read. When Jesus appeared to the disciples after resurrection, how was the situation? John chapter 20, verse 19, brother.
In the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you.
You see? The same day in the evening. What happened, Simsa? When the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled in a room because of the fear of the Jews. You see, they were all fearing because they feared that the Jews will come and arrest them and crucify them also. Hence, they were in a locked room. The doors were locked. You see, if the door is locked, can somebody come inside? Nobody can come inside once the door is locked. But you see, the verse says, and Jesus came and stood in midst of them. Now, how did Jesus come when the door is locked? You see, when the door is locked, only person who can come is a spirit being. So Jesus was resurrected in a spirit being. Even when the door was locked, he came suddenly and stood before them. It was like the wind. Imagine if even if the door is locked, don't you think the wind will come inside? The air will come inside? It will come. You see, that is the way, and that is the, you see, the condition of a person who is born of the Spirit. You see, Jesus clearly proved how a person will be if he is born of the Spirit, that he will be invisible. Nobody can see. You see, and as soon as Jesus came inside and appeared to them, what did Jesus say? The first word, peace be unto you. Why did Jesus use the word peace be unto you? Because they will be terrified, frightened. Hence, he told, no, no, don't worry, it's me only. You see? And to pacify them, Jesus said, peace be unto you. Dear brethren, therefore, if you see, so one will be born of the Spirit only after death and resurrection as a spirit being. Therefore, if you see that word, Greek word, which Jesus uses in John 3rd chapter, that you must be, one should be born again to see the kingdom of God. That means, born again, that word is from the Greek word, ginaio. Ginaio means what? That means begotten or born. In Greek, for both word begotten and word born, there is only one Greek word, that is ginaio. You see? And that can be applicable to either of these words. You see? But practically, there is a difference of these words. You see, when will the child be born? You see, as soon as, you see, it is conceived, immediately the child is born? No. Okay, is a child born without any conception? No. So first there is a process for a child to be born, isn't it? First, what will happen? Conception will be taking place in the mother's womb. That is called the begotten condition. Once they are begotten, only after 9 months will a child be born. So first there is a process, you see, for a person to be born. You see, it doesn't happen immediately, just like that. It takes some time. First begotten, next growth, next only born condition. This is what Jesus says. See, as soon as Jesus said this verse to Nicodemus, that one should be born again, that to see the kingdom of heaven, Nicodemus was surprised. How, Lord, is it possible? Huh? How can I be born again? I'm old already. Huh? Do you think that I should go in my mother's womb and be born again from her womb? Huh? Is this the way you're telling me? You see, read verse 4, brother. See what Nicodemus says. John 3rd chapter, verse 4.
Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Can he enter into the mother's womb a second time he be born at this old age? No. Then what was Jesus trying to say? The answer is given in verse 6. You see, the answer, what Jesus was actually trying to convey to Nicodemus, is given in verse 6. Read verse 6.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is the spirit.
Here Jesus tells. How is it possible? Means there is a process. What is the process? Like there is a process for one has to be born in the flesh. What has to happen first? He has to be conceived in the flesh. Then only he can be born in the flesh. That is the condition. You see, to be born in the flesh. So similarly, as there is a process for one to be first begotten in the flesh and born in the flesh, you see, similarly, if a person has to be born in the spirit, first what should happen, it seems? The begotten process should happen, it seems. You see, I gave an example. You see, child doesn't be born immediately. It first has to be conceived. You see, in the mother's womb, it will take time to be, you see, growing, growing, growing. And after certain months, then only the child will be born. So similarly, every person who's born of the spirit, who has to be born of the spirit, has to be first begotten of the Holy Spirit, dear brethren. And that takes place at baptism, when God gives us the Holy Spirit. That is the time one is begotten, not born. You see? See, there is a difference. So when will a person be born? It is only after his death and resurrection he is born in a spirit being. See, we know these things very clearly in the life of Jesus. See, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit when? At baptism. Was he immediately born in the spirit that he could, you see, go and come like wind without anybody seeing him? No. Everybody saw him clearly. So, when was Jesus born invisibly? He could come and go suddenly. It is only after his resurrection. So Jesus was begotten of the Holy Spirit at baptism. He had to prove his faithfulness to God until death. At death, he was proven faithful to God. And in the resurrection, he was resurrected as a spirit being, and he was born as a spiritual being in a spiritual nature, where he could come and go like a wind. Why? Why this process is required, dear brethren? Why can't we go in this flesh directly to heaven? No, dear brethren. We can't go to heaven in this flesh. Why? Because the Bible clearly says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Read, brother. 1 Corinthians 15:50, brother.
Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither that corruption inherit in corruption.
Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You can't go to kingdom of heaven in this spiritual, in this fleshly body, because this fleshly body has got limitations, sir. We can't go just like that. You see, even if we need to go to certain extent, we can go by plane or rocket. Not go to heaven with this body. You see, so this body has to be quit here only. With spiritual body only can we go to heaven, dear brother. Just think, how did Jesus go to heaven? Did he go in the same body? No. Jesus was resurrected as a spiritual being. You see? And in the spiritual body, he was resurrected. In the spiritual body, Jesus went to, you see, heaven and offered his sacrifice to the Lord. You see? So we should all understand this matters very clearly. See, in the Bible is very given very clearly. Two angels who took them, took Jesus to heaven. What did they say? Oh, people of Galilee, whom are you seeing? You see, the Jesus, same Jesus as he is going, he'll return the same way. How did Jesus go? He was went like a spiritual being. Two angels, you see, were with him when he went to, you see, the spiritual realm. Remember, Jesus had three births. First, he was created as Logos with the Father. The Bible says, no, in the beginning was Word, John 1st chapter. So in the beginning, so the Word had a beginning. So he was the first creation of God. He was created as a mighty spiritual being, the great morning star, the bright morning star, who was with the Father. But once when Adam sinned, Jesus left the spiritual nature. You see, he left the spiritual nature and came to earth in a fleshly nature, and he came, why? To die for man, so that he may save mankind from death. So Jesus was born in a fleshly, you see, way through the womb of Mary. Through Mary, Jesus was born as an earthly being. And this earthly life, Jesus sacrificed to the Lord in doing his will, and he was buried and resurrected as what? As a spirit being on the third day. So three births were there for Jesus. You see? So each and every person, you see, who has to go to heaven, they have to follow this process. You see? They have to become the followers of Jesus, offer their bodies as a living sacrifice. You see? And in exchange for that heavenly body, that is the time God gives us the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit, it will be growing inside our human body. How a small child is growing in the mother's womb for how many months? 9 months. Similarly, one who is begotten of the Holy Spirit, he has to grow in the Holy Spirit. Remember, many verses are there now. Quench not the Spirit. Be you filled with the Spirit. You see? So how can we be filled with the Spirit? So day by day, we need to give good nutrition food to this new creature. You see? So this begotten new creature of the Holy Spirit, you see, that is the new creation, the new man. That has to be fed daily with God's word, strong meat. You see? Then only what will happen? It will go strong in the Lord. You see? But imagine if a mother doesn't eat good food, what will happen to the child? It will suffer loss. You see? It will suffer a lot of things. It will become weak. Similarly, if we give good spiritual food for the new creature, then only it will be strong, dear brethren. Therefore, what does the Bible say? Read 2 Corinthians 4 7. 2 Corinthians 4 7, brother.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
See, we have this treasure in the earthen vessel. You see, the God's Holy Spirit, where has God kept it? In this earthen vessel, dear brethren. So this is earthen vessel, leaky vessel. So because of our weakness, this will be keep on going out. But day by day, we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Day by day, we should be renewed. and filled with the Holy Spirit and grow in the Lord. Dear brethren, that is the time we will go strong in the Lord. Okay? So, hence, you see, we read in the Bible now, about a new creature, old creature, a new man who is born in Adam, this fleshly being, always pushes us and pulls us to sin against the Lord. But the new creature, you see, the new man, the new creation, which has been begotten of the Holy Spirit, what does it do? It motivates us to walk in the walk of Christ, live faithfully to God. But you see, is it so easy that immediately can we walk and grow into become like Christ? No, dear brother, there is a fight, there is a warfare that happens daily in this human body. Between whom? Between the new creature and the old creature. Apostle Paul tells about this warfare only in so many verses. Let us read, brother. You see, Galatians 5th chapter, 16 and 17, brother.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you do.
You see, this I say, walk in the Spirit. Why? If you walk in the Spirit, you shall never fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the flesh, it desires, what all the flesh desires, it is against the Spirit. And what all the Spirit desires, it is against the flesh. So there is a warfare. Remember this photo. New creature, old creature. New creature will tell, come, let us sit and listen to the class. But what will the old creature tell? Old creature will tell, what is the use? What is the benefit? Let us come and go, enjoy, see movie, go to party. Enjoy New Year party, go here and there, friend, meet friends, relatives, function, attend all these things. That is the thought of the old creature. That means we are not denying ourselves, carrying the cross. Forget about following Christ. That is the third step. These two steps only, they are not doing it, seems. That is the old creature way. So what will happen daily? Daily there will be a warfare. You see? They are contrary to each other, dear brethren. Why? That is the reason. What we want to do, we not able to do. You see, there is a fight, there is a warfare. You see? See what Apostle Paul shares his experience. Romans 7 chapter 18 and 19, brother.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there is no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not, but the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do.
See, what does it say? For I know that in me, that is in this flesh, there is nothing that is good. Everything is bad only. Okay? There is nothing good in this old creature. Everything is waste, bad. But to do good, that will is present in me. That means what? There is a new creature is there that was always trying to do good. But it can't do it. Why? Because the new creature is very small and very weak. It is just a few months, few years old. What about the old creature? Old creature is strong. You see, the old creature has grown well. You see, but it is against the spirit. So daily there will be warfare. Imagine a small child who is just 2-3 years old. Can it fight a man who is 40 years old? No. That is the way with between the old creature and new creature. For the good that I want to do, I am not able to do. Because the evil that is in me, it is not allowing to do. So this is a Paul's experience. What good he wanted to do, could not do. What evil he did not want to do, that only he is doing. Why? Because of his fleshly weakness. Now read, brother. 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 26, 27. What is the remedy that Apostle Paul tells to do? How did he overcome?
I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that we can hear, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
What is the solution? We need to keep our body under subjection. The new creature should try to fight and overcome the old creature and bring it under control. You see, how is it easy? It's not so easy. It's a tough job, but we need to do it. That is the meaning of overcoming voluntarily, not grumblingly. You see, with lot of pain, no sorrow, no. Cheerfully, we need to do it. Therefore, Apostle Paul says, I run. You see, not uncertainly. I just don't run simply, but I run to win the fight, to win the race. And I fight, not as one that fight the air. You see, but I keep my body under, I bring it into subjection. He's fighting with whom? His own self. There is a fight within our own self. We need to fight and bring it, bring our body under control, bring the old creature under control of the new creature. Bring it to subjection. Why? After preaching to everybody, if we only fall away, how is it possible? Is it good? No. Therefore, this fight is necessary. This fighting should be there, dear brethren. Ultimately, what will happen? One day, we will win. Initially, it won't happen. You see? Initially, only the old creature will fall. Sorry, old creature only will win. New creature will fall. You see? But as the days goes on, who should win? The new creature should start winning. The old creature should fall. It doesn't happen one day. Slowly, little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit, winning process should come. Ultimately, what happened one day? The new creature will be victorious. See what Apostle Paul says. 2 Timothy 4, chapter 7 and 8.
I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but also unto all them also that love is appeased.
You see, I have fought a good fight. Apostle Paul, you see, in the beginning stage, what all things he wanted to do, he could not do. But now he is able to do everything. He is able to fight everything. He says, I have fought a good fight of faith. I have finished my course. Henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness reserved for me, not only for me, but all the people who have overcome. Hence, dear brethren, we need to put off this old man, put on the new man. Apostle Paul says, no, in Corinthians, in Colossians, so many verses are there. Yeah, it tells, be you filled with the Spirit. You see, grieve not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. You see, rejoice. You see, when all these things is speaking of the same thing, the fight of the new creature. Read, brother. Colossians 3, chapter 8, 9 and 10.
But now you also put off all this, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man, which is dead, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created you.
You see, now put off all these things. Which are the, all these things? Old man's character. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. All these things are what? These are all old man's character. Lie not one to another, speaking lies. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, this is like removing the old cloth. You've thrown it off. You see the rags, the filthy rags, the stinking rags, we have thrown it off. You see? Will we ever take it and smell it again? Will we want to put it again back? No. Those are the deeds of the old man. We have thrown it off. Now what we should put? Put on the new man. Which is renewed in knowledge. Imagine, renewed in knowledge, understanding of the truth. Which is what? After the image of him that created him, after image of Christ, our image of God. You see? So those things, you said, brethren, we need to put off and put on. This is a process. This is a fight. You said, brethren. So this, not everybody can overcome. You see? So among the people who are consecrated, what will happen? There is again two groups. One group will dedicatedly whatever they have told as per their words, they will follow it like Apostle Paul. I have fought the good fight. But some people, you see, after fighting, they'll get fed up. Yo, how much to fight? Leave. You see, so what will happen now? Among the chosen people, you see, there are again two types of people. Just called is not sufficient. Just chosen is not sufficient. Dear brethren, being faithful is very, very important. So we see a group, M is there. M is the chosen people. But among them, you see, the N class of people are there. The N class of people are the faithful ones, dear brethren. So it is just not sufficient. We believe in Christ. It's just not sufficient that we are of the chosen class, follow the footsteps of Jesus. But we need to prove to our Lord that we will be faithful to our Lord until death. Read Revelation 17, 14, brother.
We shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and set apart.
See, these shall make war with the Lamb. And who are they? These are with the Lord of Lords. And who are they? They are called chosen faithful. You see, not just called, not just chosen, they're the faithful class. Hence, you see, just by being called, oh, God has called me, that is not sufficient. Oh, God has chosen me, that is also not sufficient. We need to remain faithful to the Lord until death. Now the question is that whether you want to be a believer or you just want to be a follower or you want to be a faithful follower until death. That is the question, dear friend. So which is important? Believing is not at all important. Following is also not important. A very, very important concept and the main thing is that after believing, after following the footsteps of Jesus, we need to be faithful until our death. That is what Jesus did and proved to God until his death on the cross, dear brethren. Therefore, these are the real church class people. These class people only Jesus is seeking in the gospel age. What did Jesus say? Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So, dear brethren, this is about the church part two. So, next week we'll continue with another part and we'll understand many more things. Thank you.